You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, we're in the middle of a marriage series. Last week, we talked about ladies from 1 Peter chapter 3, and we looked at that. And husbands, I told you all week long, you had the opportunity to get the flu. But you have arrived, you forgot, you didn't fake illness today, and here you are. So Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, here at the Loop, we're here together to take a look at marriage. Marriage is an awesome, incredible, wonderful thing. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be. If you got your Bibles, turn there. Get out your listening guide as well from your weekly guide so you can take some notes as we go along. And so we're going to be talking about marriage. I've been married almost 20 years. This summer, it's hard to believe, will be my 20th anniversary, Kelly and I being married, and it's been incredible. It's been awesome. It's been fun. Yeah, y'all can clap. I see a few people wanting to clap. That's good. That's a marker. 20 years. That's a long time. That's good. And so we're being just a wonderful time we've had, but also there's been some struggles. Just a couple months ago, we were driving down the road and somehow we got in a little bit of a tiff along the way. We drove to a restaurant. We were going to have a little lunch together. We used to have date nights and then we had children and now we have date lunches because there's all these activities and stuff. So we went to a date lunch. So we were pulled up. We pulled up to the restaurant and we're having a little bit of a tiff. I don't remember even what we were fighting about. All I remember is I was right, okay? That's all I remember. I don't remember what it was about. I just remember I was right. That's all I remember. So we pulled up to the restaurant, and there we are. We're kind of sitting outside the restaurant having our tiff. And then finally, one of us said, I don't want to eat with you right now. And the other one said, I don't want to eat with you right now either. And we backed up and we left the restaurant because there's nothing more miserable than paying to have a fight, right? I mean, let's at least go home and have a fight over a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So we left, we backed out of the restaurant, we drove home, we talked a little bit further, we pulled into the driveway, we talked more in the driveway, we made up, backed out of the driveway and went right back to the restaurant. We didn't even get out of the car. We had the whole thing was fighting and making up in the car right there to back out of the driveway and pull back up. Then we got to the restaurant and it was great. It was fine. We had a wonderful lunch together. Well, these talks on marriage are to be able to get us to back out of the driveway a little bit. For understanding who we are as a wife, that you'd understand who you are as a wife, that I'd help to understand who I am as a husband, that we would understand those things so that when we get in those tiffs that are gonna happen, that we can end up working through it. So we talked about wives last week. We'll talk about husbands this week. And the next time we're together, we'll talk about how to treat each other and how to make wedlock stop being deadlock is what our goal is. And then we're going to have a marriage conference that's going to come up just in a short time with Matt Chandler. You can get information in your weekly guide there. They'll tell you about that. So we got this whole thing going on of trying to put this thing together. Marriage is a difficult thing, and we're going to talk about being husbands. Do you know what husband means? It comes from the words house band, house band. The one that holds the house together. House band was shortened to husband. And so we want to talk about husbands, of how we can put this thing together and be the husbands that we want to be. You know, the truth is this, nobody gets married wanting to be a bad wife. Nobody gets married wanting to be a bad husband. Nobody wants to have a bad marriage. Nobody wants to get divorced. We never enter in. But a lot of times we don't have the skills to understand who we really are in this marriage and in Christ. So I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 7. And in verse 7, we get one verse. Now, if you remember, I told you before, ladies, you got verses 1 through 6. You get 6 verses. We get one verse. Ladies use more words than men use is what it comes down to. So one verse on men, and here it is, verse 7. And guys, it's a tough one. Here we go. Husbands, in the same way, live, I want you to circle, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now that's a big verse. Let's just take it piece by piece. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, knowing that she is a weaker vessel is what most versions say. Her weaker nature, we're going to get to that, ladies. Don't throw rocks yet. We got some explanations. But to be able to look at this, the first thing that we often skip past in this verse of scripture is this. Husbands, live with your wives. Here's what I want you to know from the very beginning, and this is key. Marriage Marriage is teammates, not roommates. Marriage is teammates, not roommates. We use a phrase in our house where we call ourselves Team Mott, is what we call ourselves. So that's our last name. And what we've done is we actually have stationery that we've made up. I'll show you a picture of it that we have that's got all of our names on it. And it says Team Mott. Greg Kelly, Grayson Ballard. Greg Kelly, Grayson Ballard. Greg, on and on it goes. Team Mott. Because what we want to develop in our kids and in our home is that we're a team. So I want to give you that, that you would use that in your family with your last name as well. Be team whatever. So that you can connect in a way that says we're teammates as a family, not just roommates. Because what will happen is we will end up being roommates in our homes instead of teammates in our homes. So with our kids for years, we'd always hug. I'd draw the whole family together and I'd say, stable, secure family, no need for drugs or gangs. Stable, secure family, no need for drugs or gangs. And we'd all laugh together, and we still kind of laugh together about it now. But it's a creation of we're a team together. That's what we are. We're teammates, not just roommates, and that is true in marriage. Do you know that the average amount of time spent together per week for a husband and wife in America is 37 minutes? 37 minutes that we spend together in a week of meaningful conversation. I'm not talking about she's doing the laundry and you're watching TV. I'm not talking about she's helping to get dinner ready and you're helping to get the table set, whatever your roles are. I'm talking about meaningful time together. One survey says that it's 37 minutes. We are often roommates instead of teammates. That's a problem. That's a problem. We need to live together, spend time together. And gentlemen, oftentimes we're not really living with our wives. Now we live in the same house, we have the same address, blah, blah, blah. But we're living with our hobbies. We're living with our work. We're living with things that fill our egos. We're living with things that we like that make us feel like a man. And we get in this emotional setting with a lady and we don't really know how to respond emotionally like that. So men will always gravitate to the things that make them feel like a man. So we end up living with sports, living with business, living with successes, living with whatever, and we are roommates instead of teammates. One author put it like this, let's be honest, many husbands have a real problem understanding and honoring their wives. They tend to crowd their schedule with things that advance their careers or satisfy their interests or inflate their egos rather than doing what builds closeness with their wives. So gentlemen, the first thing that I want to tell you being a husband is you've got to live with your wife. You've got to see it as a teammate, not as a roommate. Live with your wives, how? In an understanding way. We have to be students of our wives. Wives, you have to be students of your husband. We have to understand them. Understand what makes them mad, understand what makes them glad, understand what makes them sad, to understand all of those things. When you live with them and you make yourself a student of them, now your understanding grows of them. And gentlemen, truth be known, the ladies are far better at truly understanding us than we are in understanding them. And they take more efforts in understanding us than we take in understanding them. Now, ladies, let me just quickly say, you're a lot more complex than we are as well. So it requires a PhD for ladies and kindergarten degree for to understand men, okay? So we, though, have to understand one another. Someone asked Mrs. Albert Einstein, have you ever thought about Albert Einstein having a wife? They asked Mrs. Albert Einstein if she understood Dr. Einstein's theory of relativity. She said, no, but I understand Albert. That's what makes the difference, isn't it? To understand him, to understand what's happening. So we have to understand our wives. Wives are better at this than men are. So guys, it's gonna take more of work for us to do. We've got to learn when to press. We got to learn when to be quiet. We got to learn when to talk. We have to learn when to listen. We have to learn when to fix the problem. We have to learn when to listen to the problem. And that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because a lot of times as we're having those discussions, our wives will say, we can tell something's wrong. We say, what's wrong? They say, fine. We say, I don't believe you. Then we come back and we say, fine. And then what are you worried about? Everything. So what happens if Kelly ever says, I'm worried about everything or concerned about everything, this is what I do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Be careful, guys. Tread carefully. I say, okay, are you worried about the space shuttle? No. Okay, we've determined it's not everything then. Okay. And we just kind of go a little bit. And then you got to listen, guys, not fix. Because a lot of times, guys, we've got the answer like two sentences in. That's not what they want. They don't even want an answer. Just want a listener. And that's very difficult. We have to understand our wives, understand who they are. Living as teammates is understanding the ingredients that's in each relationship. Every relationship, marriage relationship, has a physical ingredient, has a mental ingredient, has an emotional ingredient, has a spiritual ingredient. The ways that those are ordered for a man and ordered for a lady are different orders. We all have every one of them, but they're different. So the physical component for a man is going to be further up to the top of the list, but an emotional component for a lady is going to be more at the top of the list. Relational component depends on the husband, the personality, the wife. Maybe here, maybe there. Maybe quality time is really her deal. Maybe it's not really his deal. Maybe it's his deal, not her deal. But here's the deal. It's different orderings through genders. Genders are different in the way that they see these things. And there's a beauty to it. God has rigged marriage to require sacrifice and submission, to require understanding together, and it takes two to become one in marriage. But here's the thing I want to put before you. If the woman will put the spiritual component number one, and the man will put the spiritual component number one, now we share the same treasure of the heart, then the ordering of the relational, emotional, physical, that will help order itself out as the spiritual is put number one. And oftentimes in our marriages, we're putting spiritual like number three. We know it's important, but it's not number one. And so now we're battling over who's going to get the first place. So Kelly and I joke about this. The two became one, and we're arguing over which one we became. Because I feel like we became me. That's what we need to be right now. We need to be me. This is what I want to do at this time. She feels like we became her. This is how she sees the world and how it is. But what did we become? We became one together that's different and better. And she's not my roommate. She's my teammate. So her contribution in my life makes me better. My contribution in her life makes her better. We have a better relationship when the two of us are involved together. And spiritual's got to be the number one. So praying together is committing to stay together. Spending time in the Word together, trusting God together, all of those things, then that works out the physical, emotional, relational components. And if not, you're always going to be pressing for which one of those, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, whatever categories you want to put, which one do you first like? Which one's your tendency? It's probably not your spouse's. And that's what attracted you to them, and it's what's repelling you about them now in marriage. So the spiritual's got to be the number one thing. In an understanding way. So husbands, house band, coming through to understand we live with our wives, not our stuff. In an understanding way, we're thinking and learning and studying our wife. Ladies, it goes the same for you to study your husband. Realizing, here's the controversial part, that she is a weaker vessel or her more humble nature in the sense of a weaker nature. The roles of a husband are protector and provider. The roles of a husband are protector and provider. Now, what does it mean here of talking about weaker nature? What does this mean? Is this a slam to ladies mentally? Is this a slam to the ability of a woman to accomplish things? Is this a slam to the ability of a woman emotionally? No, it is not. It is the precursor of Peter saying, you are a protector and a provider as a husband. Here's what it means. The word vessel is used throughout the scripture to talk about the body, the physical body. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Holy Spirit, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. So the Holy Spirit is in our earthen vessels. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that each of you, talking about sexuality, that each of you would know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. If you take this and you look at this physically, I want you to think about when this was written biblically. This is thousands of years ago. Women did not have the laws on their side. Women did not have strength physically on their side. The average man is 6 inches taller than the average woman. The average woman, average man is 30 pounds heavier than the average woman. That's just the averages in America. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the averages from now, and if you went back to the 50s, you know what's happened? Every gender has increased the average of 30 pounds more. Interesting, because why? Because we eat such processed food. We eat food-like substances now instead of real food. So the average man, though, my point being 6 inches taller, 30 pounds heavier, if you take 10 average men, 10 average women, and you play a tug of war, the men are going to win. That's just how it goes. It's not a mental statement about ladies. That's not that. You take average men, average men, average women, that's how it's going to go. Now, let me say quickly, there's a lot of ladies that could beat the tar out of me. I understand. I know. Okay? And I don't want to mess with them, all right? I just don't want to mess with you. So that's not what this is saying. It's saying, as a husband, understand that one of your roles is a protector and a provider. The word Sarah that Peter talked about Sarah when he was talking about wives, Sarah means the word princess. So he's saying, take care of your princess. This is talking about a delicate vessel. Commentator says this, when Peter calls the husbands to understand their wives, treating them as they would a delicate vessel, he has in mind the woman's need for physical care and protection. So men are frying pans and women are beautiful china in a wonderful way. So there's a protector and a provider role. Single ladies, what are you looking for in a husband? You are looking for a godly protector and provider for you. Does that mean that you can't have a job and make more money than your husband? Please, Jesus, make more money than your husband. He will be great with that. That will be awesome. Make a ton more money than your husband. That's fine with every husband known to man, okay? That's good. But it's saying that there's a protector and a provider aspect, and your deepest heart as a lady, you go, yeah, I want that. And many times when you don't want that, it's because you've been wounded by a man and you haven't been protected and provided for by a man. And so now you need to be protecting against a man instead of protected by a man. And Jesus says, I want to flip that on its head as you discover who I am in your life. That I am the man, the Son of God, the Son of Man that loves you as a lady, loves you as a husband. And when I dwell in your heart, it changes everything. It changes everything. That's the gospel, that Jesus changes everything. Now, spiritual is first. Husbands are protector and providers. I love this poem. Before I married Maggie Deer, I was her pumpkin pie, her precious peach, her honey boy, the apple of her eye. But after years of married life, this thought I paused to utter, those fancy names are now all gone and I'm just her bread and butter. Provider, yes, and protector as well. We were in Galveston and we were in one of those sea kayaks and I had Grayson in the front, my son, 15 years old, and me in the back and my daughter, 8-year-old, in the middle there, and we were kayaking and the waves were going. It was a lot of fun. We were going over these waves and I looked at Grace because I want to teach him these things and I want these to be in ours. And I looked at him, I said, here's the deal. If we flip over, your number one concern is Valerie. My number one concern is Valerie. That's how it rolls in this family. We're going to take care of the ladies in this family. Your number one concern is Valerie. My number one concern is Valerie. We are the protectors and providers in this home in this way. So we're going along, and so we get this bright idea that we're going to go, the current pushes you. We're going to go sideways, so the waves are coming sideways at us. So we're going along. We don't know a lot. I mean, it's obvious. So here we are. So we're going, but we're having fun. And so we're going along, and all of a sudden this wave comes, and you can see it's like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Boom, and it hits and flips the canoe. Everything goes everywhere, the kayak, and we pop up, and Grayson goes straight to Valerie, and Valerie goes straight to Daddy, and we just sandwiched her right in there and just grabbed her, and she had these huge eyes. And then we got back in the boat, and she said, that was fun. Not for you. For you maybe, not for us. But ladies, that's the care Peter is trying to communicate here. When something happens, husbands, you go straight for your wife, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever, financially, what you just listed out. That Peter's leaning us forward. And ladies, that is not a lean forward in some type of abuse or a lean forward in some type of disrespect. That's a lean forward in the love and the care of God coming through the house band of the husband. And if you're too tough and you are so tough, you don't need any protection from God or man, I just ask you to dig deep of what made you so hard, ladies, and find that soft heart again. And gentlemen, I tell you that your number one priority is to be a protector and a provider for your wife and to care for her. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 38, then he who marries his wife does well, and he will take care of her, is what it means by that. He does well. He takes good care of her in that. Husbands are protectors and providers. Single ladies, that's what you're looking for. Not cute, though that's good. Protector and provider. Now let's talk for just a second about the ending of that verse. In verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way of their weaker nature. Yet, listen, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Godly husbands honor their wives. Godly husbands honor their wives. How? They honor their wives in deeds. They honor their wives in words. They honor their wives in purity. They honor their wives with their time. They honor their wives with their attention and their ears. They honor them in that way to say, I honor you as my wife. I honor you and care for you. And so husbands, lift that high. Peter's saying they honor their wives. They honor the wives. Gentlemen, are you honoring her with your words? Are you honoring them with your time? Are you honoring them with your lust in the sense of negating your lust and having eyes for only one woman? Pornography is ripping marriages apart and ripping men's hearts apart. And there's not a man in the world that wants to be doing that. An addiction gets created and it grabs and you got to jump out of it and get help to get out of it. An honoring that has to happen in our lives with our wives. How does that happen? We realize that wives are spiritually equal, co-heirs, spiritually equal. We talk much about equality in our country. We talk much about equality of genders in our country. And in talking about that, I just want to bring you to this verse of scripture, because what will happen is that Christianity will be painted that men are cavemen and women are just supposed to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen and, you know, just be quiet and stay 10 feet back. And I've said it many, many times, and I say it numerous times because I want you to just get it. The best thing that's ever happened for women's rights is Jesus Christ. That's the best thing that's happened. Peter here in 64, yeah, let's cheer for that. Ladies, we are glad for that. Peter here in like 63 AD, 64 AD, whenever this is written in that time frame, he's writing and saying, women are co-heirs. Are you kidding him saying that in that culture? They are co-heirs. They are spiritually equal. And let me tell you, let me just say it. The problems we have in equality is because we have negated the soul. And Peter is speaking about the equality of the soul. And I want you to hear Siena Cypress downtown, Espanol, the equality of the soul, that's what brings the equality in the house. That's what brings the equality in the workforce. That's what brings the equality in society. But we have ripped out the soul. We've ripped out the need for God. We've ripped out that there's anything in us besides what's going to happen on planet Earth. And we've thrown it away so we don't know what equality is. We don't even know what gender is. We don't know what marriage is. We don't know what any of this stuff is. And it's because we've missed this primary thing. You have a soul. A soul is in you as a man and as a woman, and your soul is a fingerprint of God. And you and I were created in the image of God. So my equality of soul with my wife, equality with soul, that begins to be the spiritual number one of the relationship. And so now we may have different roles at different times, but we are one in Christ. And Jesus holds this whole thing together. But when you throw out God and you throw out Jesus and you throw out the soul and we're just a, you know, bunch of amoebas that got together and got lucky in evolution, Evolution is based upon survival of the fittest. Created in the image of God is based upon the equality of the soul. And that's what Peter is saying. Husbands, your wives are spiritually equal. Therefore, listen to her. Therefore, pray with her. Therefore, ask her what she's getting out of the scripture. Therefore, ask her what she thinks about worship in the Lord and what she's hearing from God. Wives are spiritually equal. B, second on this, wives are spiritually important. Wives are spiritually important. Did you see what he says at the end of this, husbands? It says, so that... treat them in an understanding way. Honor them as co-heirs of the grace of life. That's Jesus' grace. So that what? Your prayers will not be hindered. Now, that's a baffling section of the verse. He's saying, look, if you're not going to treat your wife like you should be treating your wife, don't come to me and act all spiritual. I want you to honor her as a testimony of honoring me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother, we could say wife in that context, he has not seen the love of God that he has not seen. And we have this commandment from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother or his wife. To be able to see that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 44. So if you're offering a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Saying, get things right at home before you get pious at the altar. And I'll tell you this, this is just true confessions. There's times, Kelly and I have been in a little bit of tiff. It's been on Sunday. There's spiritual attack that happens in our lives, right? God wants to get us off kilter before we're doing ministry. And it'll be a little tip that happens on a Sunday or Saturday night. And I'll have to just go, are we good? I mean, it might not be solved, right? Some things take some time to solve. But are we good? And she'll say, we're good. You just go preach. You don't worry about it. Because I don't want to be up here hearing these verses in my mind, right? Doesn't mean every problem solved at home at every juncture. It takes time. But it does mean that we could say, are you good? Yes, yes. Have you ever had a fight and then try to pray together? It's tough, but it's good for you. Because when you start holding her hand after you've had a little tiff and you're praying together, that's some soul work that's happening there. But what happens? We have a fight with our wives, our husbands. We have this battle. So then we feel like, well, I don't want to go to God now because I got all this stuff. So we don't go to God. So then we just have another fight and it's this vicious circle, isn't it? At some point, it says here, co-heirs of the grace of life. Grace has to be shown to each other. Grace has to be received from Jesus. So it changes everything. Wives, you are spiritually important. So husbands, what have I been trying to say to us? What have I been trying to do? Teammates, not roommates. You're a protector and a provider. Honor your wife because she is spiritually equal to you and she is spiritually important to you. Let me give you just three places of application for our marriage and we'll be finished. Number one, list three qualities of your spouse and you appreciate and one thing that you can improve on. Next time you go together to out to eat or whatever, sit down. We did this week. We went out to eat this week trying to practice what I'm preaching and we sat across the table and I said, okay, I'm going to say this in the message. What are three qualities you like about me? And what's one thing you can improve about you? And then what? I'm going to say the same thing, right? But what happens in that? One, it keeps us from getting in there and the wife goes, oh, I'm terrible. I stink. And here's the three things that I'm terrible at. And no, she becomes an encourager to that husband. And that husband goes, really? I didn't know I was doing a good job with that. Thanks. And then she gets to say, okay, well, here's something I can improve on. And he could say, amen, or no, I didn't notice, whatever it is. And then the husband says, here's some things. And he pours into his wife and he encourages her. And we're able to encourage our ladies. And guys, that's important. Ladies, it's important for your husband as well to receive encouragement. And then we say, what's one thing that we can improve upon? What do we often do? Here's the three things you can improve upon. And here's the one thing I'm doing great at. Then she says, here's the three things you can improve upon. And here's the what I'm doing great at. And even if it's unspoken, that's what we're thinking. Well, I always, and she nevers. Flip it, eye to eye, face to face, here's what I love about you, and here's the great attributes of you. Number two, spend time together every day this week. Spend time together every day this week. Now, oh my goodness, how are we gonna do that? Here's what I want you to do. Find pockets of time together. Go for a quick walk around the neighborhood. Go for a time, if you're all folding clothes, get together and just two of y'all start talking as you're folding clothes and just spend a little time together getting deeper. Every day this week, try to make a point of spending time with your spouse that's eye to eye. Doesn't have to be romantic, doesn't have to be roses, doesn't have to be candlelight, doesn't have to be expensive. I'm just talking about the TV's off and you're looking at each other. Find that context or you're shoulder to shoulder with a walk and spend time together this week. A walk, a meal, whatever it is, find pockets of time. Kirk Cameron said it like this. The reason I bring up Kirk Cameron is because every woman my age wishes she would have married Kirk Cameron at some point in her life, okay? So here's what your possible husband said. Previous possibility as you read Tiger Beat. Here it is. Couples need to make the most of every little opportunity, even if it's only 10 or 20 minutes here and there. If couples wait for the semi-annual vacation trip to connect, they will drift apart. 2 weeks a year is not enough to find time together. To keep a marriage healthy, they need to connect every day, even if it's just finding pockets of time of something we can do together. Number three, pray together this week. Pray together this week and let the Lord use those prayer times together as well. Close with telling you this. Andy Pettit, you know him as a baseball pitcher, amazing baseball pitcher. What an amazing career. He's a good friend of mine. He's actually a member of our church, which is an amazing thing as well. And I was at a Bible study that Andy was leading just this week, a time together with just dads. And he gave five things of what it takes to be, in his mind, five things of being a great dad. And one of the things was this: honor your wife. Honor your wife and love your wife. And that type of husband is going to be a blessing as a dad as well. Then he ended with this song that I want to just quote to you as we close, called Lead Me by Sanctus Real. It says this: I look around and I see my wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. In the picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside, I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands. Stand up when I can't. Don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. What about us? Show me that you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel alone. The husband then responds in the song and says, so Father, give me the strength to be everything I'm called to be. Oh, Father, show me the way to lead them. Won't you lead me? Gentlemen, we're called to be house bands with spiritual number one, creating a team in our home to glorify the Lord. That comes through the power of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we want you to know him, and your marriage will be completely different if you do. If your marriage doesn't have him at the beginning, number one, spiritual, make that today your desire and commitment.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.